So in my lifetime, I've been through exactly 60 New Year's. And I've got a lot of experience with this New Year thing. And I can honestly say today, I have never been more excited about the end of one year and the beginning of a new year as I am this year. You know, the beginning of a new year it's a good reminder to us as Christians that God is a God of new beginnings. And it's a great time for us. The beginning of the new year is a great time for us to take the opportunity in our lives to recalibrate. All right, so I'm going to give you four R words really quickly here. I love these re words because they're meaningful to Christians. They're found throughout the Bible. All right, so just to get things started this morning, I'm going to give you these four as we look forward to this new year, some things to think about. First of all, refocus on the Lord. Refocus on the Lord. Life's full of distractions, right? And so it's good for us to have that reminder from time to time to focus on that which is most important, and that is my relationship with Jesus, all right? So refocus on the Lord. Secondly, renew your vision. God has a purpose, plan, and a destiny for each and every one of us. And it's easy, again, it's easy for us to kind of lose track of the vision that God has for your life. And if you don't know what the vision is that God has for your life, I want to invite you to seek the Lord. Ask the Lord, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for our family? What do you have for our marriage? So renew your vision. Because it's kind of hard to keep things going forward if you don't really have a vision for what God has for you. Thirdly, reestablish your disciplines. We got to have discipline, folks. Sorry to say. Reestablish your disciplines, because if you have vision, but you're not disciplined, you're going to have a hard time reaching your vision and your goals, right? So reestablish those disciplines. Maybe for you, it's the discipline of starting a new Bible reading program, or the discipline of taking time every day in prayer, or reestablishing some physical disciplines in your life, or some things that you want to see take place as a married couple. Reestablish your disciplines. And then fourthly, refresh your resolve. You got to have resolve. You got to have stick-to-itiveness, right? If this year is going to be meaningful and successful and fruitful in your life, you got to have resolve, because there's always obstacles. So these are the things that we want to do as a church family too. We want to refocus on the Lord. We want to renew our vision as a church. We want to reestablish some disciplines as a church and refresh our resolve. Every year at the beginning of the year, Bethel Church has a focus time of fasting and prayer. And for most years, we've made that 21 days. This year, I just felt like we were supposed to kind of narrow the focus a little bit and kind of be laser beamed in. And we're just going to do 1 week, not because we want to do less, but actually because we want to make it even more powerful and meaningful. And so circle on your calendar or write down January 24 to 30, that week, January 24 to 30. That's our annual week of prayer and fasting. We'll be saying more about that over the next couple of weeks. I've written a prayer guide for us for that week. We're going to have the church doors open every evening that week for people to come together and seek the Lord. I believe God wants to bless this year. I honestly do. I believe this is going to be a fantastic year. I'm excited about this year, but I know it all starts here. It starts by seeking the Lord first. It starts by seeking the Lord first. And if you can't say amen to that, you can't say amen to anything else I'm going to say today. All right, yeah, it starts right there. Every year in August, I just begin to seek the Lord about the next year. And even though it's, you know, several months out, I begin to just wait upon the Lord and seek the Lord for our church for the coming year. And some of that has to do with strategic planning. It has to do with staffing. It has to do with budget. maybe some of the events that we're going to do, any special campaigns that we're going to do, guest speakers that we might bring in. That's all part of it. But the big picture of all of it is I'm asking the Lord, God, what are you doing? What do you want to say to our church in this coming year? What do you want to do in us? And so for the last couple of years, I don't always do this, and I don't know that we always will, but for the last couple of years, the Lord has given me a very specific theme for the year and a scripture that goes along with that theme. And so our theme, this is the unveiling, folks, drum roll please, our Bethel Church theme, our focus, thank you very much, front row, for 2021 is more than conquerors. More than conquerors. I just believe God wants us to do more winning. Yeah. More than conquerors. And of course, this comes out of a great scripture, Romans 8:37, a great promise to us in all these things. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Look, I don't know what this next year is going to hold, but I do know this. You're either going to approach life with the perspective that you're a victim of your circumstances, or you're going to approach your life from the perspective that you're a child of the living God who holds all things in his hands, right? And I don't know about you, I'm choosing the latter. And if God says, I'm more than a conqueror, then I'm going to take God at his word. Amen? That no matter what my circumstances might look like, God has declared over my life that not only am I a conqueror, and I love this, I am more than a conqueror, okay? And literally in the Greek, the literal meaning there is superhuman. Like, you're Superman, right? Through Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the context of this great promise so that we're not just pulling, you know, something out of God's word and making it say what we want it to say. We're going to look at the context of Romans 8:37. We're going to start at verse 31, Romans chapter 8 in your Bible if you haven't already gotten there. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin at verse 31. And I'm going to read it and then we're just going to go through it and pull some promises, some principles out of the scripture. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Say amen. Yeah. So let's pull a few like powerful principles out of this scripture and some challenges out of this scripture. And the first one in your notes is this: God is on your side and he wants you to be victorious in every area of your life. We already sang it. God is for you. God is for you. The scripture is full of that. God is on your side and he wants you to be victorious in every area of your life. He does. He wants you to be victorious as a follower of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be victorious in your mental health, in your emotional well-being, in your relationships, in your financial dealings. God wants us to be victorious, and he is on our side. Verse 31 again, if God is for us, who can be against us? Yeah. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, what if the Apostle Paul would have just left the first part of that verse off and just asked the question, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Well, we could probably all think of a lot of things that are against us, right? First of all, you know, you got the devil. He's against us. But we also have just within us, we have our fallen, sinful nature that battles against our desires to be godly. So right within us, you know, we're our own worst enemy sometimes. We're also surrounded by a culture that hates God and hates everything that has to do with God, so that's against us. We also have the deceitfulness of this world and the lies that we buy into sometimes, including this one. This is against us, the busyness of our culture. So this unsustainable, frantic pace that we try to do life at, that's against us. It's against your walk with God, and it's against your marriage and against family life, this pace, this breakneck pace that we try to keep up with the world. So all these things, there are many things that stand against us, and being a follower of Jesus Christ by its sheer nature means you're going to be engaged in spiritual warfare every single day of your life. You say, oh, I didn't sign up for that. Too bad. When you follow Jesus, that was part of the deal. Right? It involves spiritual warfare. There are things that come against us, but here's the good news. With everything that is against us, Paul reminds us here that no matter what is against us, God is greater than all of that, and he is for us. He's for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice, because this can be a little confusing here, the qualifier there, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, when Paul uses this word if here, he's not suggesting even for a second that God is not for us. He is, however, making it clear that God is not for everybody and everything. Now, God loves everyone, but he's not for everyone. In fact, there's several times, especially in the Old Testament prophets, where God says to entire nations, I am against you. Now, how many of you know that's not something you want to hear from God? I'm against you, okay? So, does God love everybody? Absolutely. Is God going to align himself with everyone's agenda? Of course not, right? So, this brings us to point number two. Victory comes as we align ourselves with God's values and purposes. Victory comes as we align ourselves with God's values and purposes. So it's one thing to say, well, yeah, I'm more than a conqueror. God wants me to win. He's on my side. But we need to step back from that and say, okay, yeah, God's on my side. Am I on his side? Right? Victory comes as we align ourselves with God. Jesus said this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. Okay? So if you want the blessing of God, first we align ourselves with the purposes of God. For example, God wants to bless your mind. He wants to bless your thought life. But if you're constantly filling your mind with the things that are not what God made your mind for, then rather than having a healthy, joyful, peace-filled mind, your mind is going to be dominated by lust and greed, anxiety and strife. So God wants to bless your mind, but part of God blessing your mind is having some order in your thought life. God wants to bless your relationships with people of the opposite sex. He wants to bless your relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. But if you're engaged in sexual activity outside of the covenant of marriage, then God cannot bless that. God wants to bless your finances. Absolutely. But if you're foolish, selfish, greedy, and willing to compromise your values in order to gain more wealth, then yes, you may gain more wealth, but you won't be blessed by God in your finances. Is this making sense? All right? So, and here's like the number one takeaway this morning. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. If you want God to bless you this year, how many of you want God to bless you this year? Amen, amen. If you want God to bless you this year, the first thing you need to do is position your life to receive God's blessing by aligning yourself with God's values and God's purposes. Yeah. Jesus said this. He said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, hears these words of mine and does them, is like a man who built his house on the rock. Now, the interesting thing in Jesus' teaching, you read the entire context, storms come both to the people that built on the rock and the people who didn't build on the rock. Storms still come. The difference is you make it and you're more than a conqueror when your life is built upon the rock, and then it doesn't matter what comes against you. Yeah. So align yourself with God's values and God's purposes. So if you want God to bless your thought life, get your mind out of the sewer. Yeah. If you want God to bless your relationships, then do things according to God's will. If you want God to bless your finances, work hard, be honest, pay your taxes, treat people with respect, and be generous, then God can bless you. Victory comes when we align ourselves with God's values and purposes. Number three. Your victory is grounded in the victory that Jesus has already won. It's grounded in the victory Jesus has already won. We're more than a conqueror because Jesus is more than a conqueror. Amen? He's already won the war. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, going back, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Listen, guys, the devil is a liar. He tries to bring guilt, condemnation, and shame upon our lives. He's the accuser of the brothers. That's what the Bible says. So he's going to lie to you. He's going to try to discourage you. So many times we don't take hold of the truth that we're more than conquerors because we look at ourselves in the mirror and we don't feel like we're more than conquerors. And actually, there are times in our life we don't behave like we're more than conquerors. And it's during those times that we need to remember that the victory that I have in Jesus Christ is not a victory that I've won, it's a victory that Jesus has won. And I'm more than a conqueror, not because I say so, but because God says so. Right? Jesus Christ has defeated sin when he died on the cross, and he's defeated death when he rose from the dead. And because he's more than a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror, because he is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said this in John 16, 33. He says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So whenever you're engaged in spiritual warfare, remember that you're more than a conqueror and that the battle has already been won by Jesus. I love these words of David as he's a young man. He's facing the giant Goliath. And he's standing, there's a crowd of people around. And David says several things, but here in the middle of David's speech, he says this, and everyone assembled here today will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and the spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Everybody say this with me. This is the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's battle. Some of you, you're praying for loved ones that seem to be getting further from God instead of closer to God, I want to remind you today, this is the Lord's battle. Amen? Some of you, you're discouraged even about your own responses and reactions in life. And I want to remind you today, this is the Lord's battle. Hallelujah. Some of you have physical things that you're up against right now, and there's nothing you can do about it, and it seems like the doctors can't do anything for you. I want to remind you today, there's nothing that's impossible for God, and this is the Lord's battle. It's God's battle. There are some things in life that they're just too big, and they're like David facing Goliath, and they're just too big for us, and that's when we need to remind ourselves, this is the Lord's battle, and Jesus has already won the victory. Hallelujah. Psalm 3:3, David wrote this, You, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. And then later on in Psalm 144, verse 2, David writes, He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. Your victory is grounded in the victory that Jesus Christ has already won. And then I love this one, bringing it into the New Testament. Great promise. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Man. Doesn't sound like we're victims in that verse. Amen? It sounds like we're conquerors. Resist the devil and he's going to run. He's going to flee from you. Not because of your power and your strength, but because the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the one who has defeated death, the one who has defeated the grave, the one who's risen from the dead, the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then number four, your victory is secure. It's secure because God loves you, and he loves you unconditionally and eternally. When you feel like you've been a failure, remember that you belong to Christ, and nothing's going to change that. Look at this. I'm convinced, verse 38 again. I'm convinced. I love the word convinced there. Okay, this isn't a passing thought. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. I get the idea here that Paul was just trying to make sure he covered all the bases, right? He's like, I don't want to leave anything out because I want these people to know who they are, right? I'm convinced there's nothing in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, guys. The Lord loves you more than you'll ever understand. He cherishes you. He's committed to your good. You're going to make it. You're going to overcome. You're going to win. Because God loves you, and he's chosen you, and Jesus died for you, and he rose from the dead for you. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you look forward to 2021, let faith rise up in your heart and your spirit. Believe for the good things of God this year. Amen? For you and your family. Believe for miracles. Believe for deliverance for those who have been bound up by the enemy. Believe God for good things because we serve a good God who's on our side. Hallelujah. So I included this little thing at the end here that I just want to use as kind of a, seed for thought in your life. I don't know if you're a goal setter or you do New Year's resolutions or anything like that at the beginning of the year, whether you do or don't, that's okay. But I would really encourage every single one of us as followers of Jesus Christ to get with the Lord and say, God, what do you have for my life this year? And I'm going to suggest a few areas for you to take to the Lord. First of all, spiritually, what spiritual disciplines do I need to reestablish in my life? Do I need to start a new Bible reading plan? Do I need to, you know, make sure that I'm getting up a little earlier so I have time with the Lord before I go off to work or go off to school? Whatever it might be, what spiritual disciplines do I need to lock down in my life this year? And then in the area of mental and emotional health, how can I establish a spiritual perimeter of defense around my heart and my mind? All right? So this would include, you know, filling our hearts and minds with the good things of God, but also keeping guard, right? I mean, sometimes as Christians, let's be honest, we hand the devil a club and then we wonder why we're getting beat up, right? I mean, we just like invite him in through some of the stuff we're watching and reading and focusing on. And I just want to encourage you as you start this new year, is there a perimeter you need to start setting up around your heart and your thought life, right? So you can be more healthy in those areas. Physically, do I need to recalibrate my diet, exercise, my sleep habits? Do I need to make some changes? And you say, well, what does that have to do with my relationship with God? Well, it has everything to do with it because we're whole human beings. And so how I feel physically affects my emotions. And how my emotions are doing affects my relationship with God and with others, right? So it all works together. So physically, relationally, is there anyone I need to forgive? And I would just suggest to you, what a great way to start a new year. By not dragging baggage into it, right? Like if you need to forgive somebody, let's take it to the Lord, ask the Lord for help, and let's forgive and move on. Hallelujah. Yeah. And is there anyone I need to forgive? And what changes can I make to foster healthier relationships? Okay, some of you couples, you need to start having a date night, right? You need to just say, this is our night, you know, we're going to, you know, go over to the neighbors and say, hey, you got our kids tonight, and we're going out for a date. You know, we actually offer as a church, because we believe in this, we have date nights, you know, like every quarter, where Pastor Ben takes care of your kids so you can go out on a date as a couple. What a deal, right? And so relationally, what kind of habits do I need to change in my relationships? Financially, what can I do to give God greater honor with my finances? All right, maybe it's reestablishing, you know, the discipline of tithing. Maybe it's just being more generous with my finances. Maybe it's being more honest with your finances. Maybe it's being more wise with your spending, and you know, not loading up that credit card debt. That's a great reminder right after Christmas every year. Yeah, God doesn't want you to live under that weight, that heaviness of debt. And so, what can I do? What can we do as a couple to get ourselves out from under that load of debt in our lives? And then the last one I put on here, I didn't know what else to call this. I'm just going to call it kingdom impact. And what I mean by that is, how will I make a difference for the kingdom of God in 2021? How am I going to make an eternal difference? How am I going to be a kingdom-minded Christian? Now, to help you with this, we're starting a new teaching series starting next Sunday called Kingdom People. And for the next 2 months, we're going to be talking about what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus Christ in 2021? What does it mean to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God? Okay, so how can I increase my influence, my impact this year on my family, my coworkers? Okay, what does God want to do in my life in terms of world missions? okay? And I want to just encourage you, let God stretch you, right? May 2021 be a year of blessing, but may it also be a year of stretching, right? Let God expand your horizons a little bit and give you ways that you can be more of a kingdom citizen and make a bigger impact on our world. And remind us that it's only the things of the kingdom of God that are going to go with us into eternity. Right? Everything else is going away. So how can I make an impact for the kingdom this year? Okay? So let God stretch you. Let him stretch you this year. Okay, let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Will you bow your hearts with me? And as we begin this new year, I gave you a lot to think about. And I'm just going to ask, I want to encourage you, just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to take out of this message? What are one or two nuggets? What are one or two things that God wants to speak into your own life this year? And let's believe God for a great year. And I just want to challenge us today. New beginnings, they always start with Jesus, right? And if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, or you've drifted from God, or you're online and that's you, you're just not walking with the Lord, I'm here to tell you it all starts with Jesus. Every bit of blessing that you want to have in your life, every bit of overcoming, it all starts with Jesus first, with him first, and putting him first in your life. So I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads with me, and I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right now. And those of you who need to recommit your life to Christ or give your life to Jesus, I invite you to just pray this prayer along with me in your heart. Lord Jesus, I bring my life to you today, God, and as we start this new year, on the first Sunday of 2021, God, I want to start this year with you. I want to start this year with Jesus in my life. So, Lord, I invite you to come into my life today. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you have risen from the dead. So, Lord, I open the door of my heart. I invite you to come in and I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song in response to God's word today.